Thanks for listening to this podcast. This is Jessica Bordalo, Young Adult Ministry Consultant and editor of LCMSYAM.org. In our last podcast, we talked with a panel of Christian young adults gathered at the Crave Coffee House in St. Louis. They were discussing how to share their faith with other young adults. The four panelists all work within the realm of young adult ministry and are young adults themselves. If you haven't listened to that podcast, I encourage you to listen to it first because it really sets the framework for the discussion in this podcast. The conversation was streamed as a live webcast, and this is the audio of that webcast. We recorded in a live operating coffee house, so you can hear some background noise, but the conversation is clear and easy to understand. This audio has been provided to us courtesy of Creative Communications for the Parish at www.livingthegospellife.com. If you want to watch that conversation, you can go to livingthegospellife.com and click on Everyday Evangelism Young Adult Edition. The young adults on the panel were Sarah Gedalion from Lutheran Hour Ministry, Pastor Jeff Clater from Reliant Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Todd Liefer, a fourth-year seminarian at Concordia Seminary, and me, Jessica Bordalo. The conversation was facilitated by Gretchen Jameson of Pure PR, on behalf of Creative Communications for the Parish. I hope you enjoy listening to this conversation and are encouraged to share the love of Jesus with those around you.
So I need to put you guys on the spot. Tell me about some of the most recent young adults you have reached out to. I'd love to hear stories.
Well, there is, and I'm glad that you said that, because one of the things I wanted to mention is if we're just sitting around here talking about this together forever and ever, we don't actually go out and speak to people in this generation, then we're just wasting a lot of time. I mean, you know, it's good for us to further equip each other, but this weekend, for example, my husband and I, we went to an area in St. Louis called The Loop. We're all familiar with that, and that's more of like your wannabe East Village from New York, you know, tattoos, the whole nine, piercings. It's a different scene. It's eclectic, the college students. We have an Easter production coming up, so we left an enormous tip for Glenn, who is our server, because that's a good witness. You know, if he sees us praying and then we tip him $1 or, you know, 6%, and when that is his income, then that's not very loving. You know, he's not going to remember Christians very well, but we left him a big tip, and then we left him a little invite to church in there. We knew he was, like, a cool guy. He didn't want to have the whole conversation. He was really busy. His section was full, but then the next day I saw him and just, hey, and oh, hey, you know, so maybe just something easy like that.
You know, one place you always see flocks of young adults is the gym. You go to a local gym and there's going to be tons of people there. This was hard for me, but like first couple of years, like joining gym, working out, like I would always have my iPod, you know, listening to music and just kind of in my own little zone, you know. But after about a year ago, I realized, you know, probably not the best way to connect to other people that I'm literally, you know, right next to. And so I ripped up the iPod and just started talking to people. I mean, it's a great way to start meeting friends and start talking about faith. And honestly, once people, you know, find out that you belong to a church and for me, like, I work in the church, they're very interested and they ask tons of questions. So that's a great way too, I think.
I am missing my 3-on-3 basketball right now. Where for 2 years I've been playing with a few guys, Vince and Todd should not be watching it because you should be playing and winning right now.
So they're 2-on-3.
But yeah, well, I had to pick somebody up. But you know, I've gotten to know. I have outlets where I get out of the church because I can be isolated as a pastor. I see Christians all day. So I have my outlets, and one of them is basketball, and I sometimes succeed in some kind of a witness, and I sometimes fail. A couple weeks ago, we went out for a beer, and I had a direction that I wanted to take the conversation, and just around a beer with these guys, and I couldn't do it, and I just felt so frustrated. The next week, I came back, and you know, I was able to have some conversation about things in their life that they're going through. That's where I try to connect. And now I've known them for, I mentioned before, my tagline is earn the right to be heard. So I have 2 years of social capital with these guys. Yeah. So now what I say, they listen to it. Whereas the first couple of games, it wouldn't. Well, now I have led them to a championship in the 3-on-3 basketball league. So now they listen.
Now they listen.
But I'm missing it right now. But anyway, it's that highly putting yourself in long-term relationships. I'm settling down, and I'm, you know, with these guys for the long haul. And however long it takes, and sometimes I succeed, and that's an important thing too. Is sometimes you encounter rejection, and sometimes you trust that a word went out somewhere.
I like what you said about the long-term investment in relationships, because isn't it easy to kind of do like drive-by witnessing? You know, like, hey, here's a track, gotta go. But investing long-term, like being a part of that team, or what I read somewhere, and I don't remember where I read it, but it said you should invite someone to do something with you 10 times before you invite them to go to church. 10 times. Yeah. That means you're like actually making friends with them, not just trying to sneak them into church, you know, but actually build a relationship.
And don't you think it requires to a high attention to what's going on in your congregation so that when you make the ask and you invite them in, you have a sense of what they're going to experience. That's
so
something
true.
That my husband and I talk about a lot. We had just, the Jesus Painter was just at our church last weekend. It was a great opportunity to invite people in. And in our neighborhood of young suburban families, Sunday morning is Leon driving to church and a lot of people on their porches reading their newspapers. I mean, it really is just a really interesting place to be in ministry, you know? And so it was this natural opportunity to invite people. We knew what they were going to receive because it was kind of a hook. But we also knew the quality content of the sermon and things, because we're engaged and we're plugged in and we're part of what's going on in our congregation, so you kind of can feel really good about, this is what they're going to hear when they come in the door. And that requires that you're invested in your own congregation, kind of helping with what they're going to find. I don't know, it's just kind of a balance.
You can't invite someone to a community that you're not a part of. It's not, you know.
Or you're not sure what they're going to get. Does that make sense?
I agree with that. I think there's a lot of a lack of trust with this generation, specifically this age group. I mean, we were raised watching Oprah, you know, grandma's calling saying, oh my gosh, don't open the door, don't eat the Halloween candy,
Stranger danger.
Yeah, like, I'm paranoid, okay? And it's because our generation has been raised with scams and you know, 9/11 and all these things that have impacted our worldview. And so a lot of times they just don't trust us to start with. A lot of people in this generation, they specifically give people a D or an F to begin with, and you have to gain permission into your life, like Pastor Jeff just said.
Mm-hmm.
And so another thing tied into what you just said, Gretchen, is that you don't want to give them the bait and switch,
right,
where you act like, oh, there's this picnic we're going to, you know, at your church, and you don't mention that it's at your church, you know. So you just want to be really truthful with them and genuine. Take the time to listen, like you said, you know, to find out where they are spiritually and being genuine in the conversations and attaching to their worldview, their ultimate allegiance, what's important to them, which Pastor Jeff mentioned, you know, you learn by spending time with them. I like that word that you said, social capital, you know, something to your advantage.
I think we have a question coming in off of Ustream, and I'd love to hear it. Let's... Ooh, okay, so the question is, what scripture or book, chapter, verse of the Bible have you found particularly compelling to a young adult mind? That's kind of an interesting one.
To the unchurched young adult, or to us to consider as we reach young adults?
Whoa,
I love options.
Yeah, nice.
I think it goes back to the importance of relationship, that you've built a friendship with this young adult, and you've listened to them, so you know where they're at. And then you think, well, what Bible passage is going to be effective to them? Because now they're my friend, and I know them, and I think that this is the verse that maybe God would want to use right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that there's like a pat, this is the verse, you give this to them and they become a Christian. But if you know them, because you listen to them, because you're their friend, you know, God, the Holy Spirit will work through the scripture that you have in your mind and lead you to that verse, because it has to be on a case by case.
I'd agree with that it has to be contextual, and... Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a young lady who's been abused or something, and I just kind of have the pat, well, your sins are forgiven. You know, that's, I'm speaking truth, and it's the gospel, and it's good news, but maybe she needs to hear another angle of the gospel, which might be more like the incarnation. Hey, you know what? Jesus came to be with us, even to be born in an animal feed box. That's what the incarnation means, that God came near to us, and God is near to you. He's not, you haven't been abandoned. And so it's identifying kind of the gospel angle that you want to, and by knowing the person first.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not like one, maybe scripture verse, you really have to listen to that person and then know the gospel and bring it to their context.
Mm-hmm. Just being able to talk about the narratives of salvation in a conversational way, like you're just talking about, is so important with this generation. I mean, you just, I just don't think you can just quote a Bible verse and they'll automatically like, oh, okay, I understand what you're saying now. I mean, you can use scripture and it works well, but you can't use that as, you know, the it always works to just quote, you know, this one verse.
I do have a verse that I think of. I mean, I agree with everything that you guys said for sure. But also I think about a lot of the people that I've spoken to that are young adults, and they think that they have to get their life right and perfect and then they can be a Christian. They don't understand the concept that you need the Holy Spirit, you need God, this is who works faith in your heart, this is who you're dependent on, you have to trust in Him. So I like Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. And so I think that just makes it clear to them that it doesn't say, if you're perfect, if you quit drinking, if you clean your life up, then you're saved. That they get that it's not about works, it's about what Jesus has done and us trusting in Him as our Savior. It really makes it as easy as it is that God has already done this for us because He loves us first.
Yeah, we have another one. Let's hear it. Say that. Ask it one more time.
Yeah, one more time. That's a hard one. Good for you.
We have a really long question. Yeah. Whoever you are, you're brilliant.
Okay. Yeah.
So what does the church offer that a young adult couldn't find and be satisfied with from a secular source? That's actually a really good question.
Mm-hmm. I think going back to that, you don't have to do anything for this salvation. Jesus has already done it. You just have to trust Him, because a lot of the other religions that they're looking at or that have been, you know, handed to them, you have to do something. There's something that has to be done on your part. So the answer is it's already, the price has been paid for you for free.
I think that there are crossover points with, you know, the secular culture that can be helpful. Scripture talks about caring for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. That's a concern of a lot of young adults, the social justice or caring for the poor, either politically or socially. And so using that as sort of a hook, but then bringing more out of it. So the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. And by the way, Jesus hung out with the sinners and the tax collectors, and you make the cross, or the cross central, you bring it to Christ.
I love that comment, that, you know, we are in sort of a social justice, and we're going to see more of it with social media and marketing, realizing they're calling it now social marketing. Don't confuse that with social media. Social marketing suggests that people are sick of being marketed to, so you've got to put more of a humanitarian sort of do-good spin on it, you know, kind of a social justice spin to it, to hook people to your brand or your, you know, to buy more soda or whatever it is. And there's even a whole new social networking site called Jumo. Great site. There's a couple of Lutheran organizations on it already. Jumo was created by one of the co-creators of Facebook, and it's a social network just for social justice concerns. So we're going to have a generation of people that can find that do-good angle everywhere, you know, and so to find that hook to make a connection, but then to turn it on its ear and confound them with the cross, you know, in the sense that there's more to this than really the social justice and the do-good piece, because I think we're going to see more and more and more of that as people seek meaning in our culture.
Well, and what I love about, you know, the church is that it gives people a great reason to reach out to other people. Otherwise, I would imagine in what do you call it, social marketing. Mm-hmm. It's mostly guilt driven. Like, you feel bad, so you know you'll buy this product or you'll do this. But you know, when it comes to the church, it's like, well, you know, Christ has come to redeem the creation, and He's coming back one day. And so let's bring that last day now, and let's feed the poor and reach out to the widows and the orphans and the fatherless, and that it gives us a reason to reach out.
So many of the things that young adults already think are important, like social justice, like environmentalism. Yeah. Find their core in scripture. We take care of the world because God made it, and He said that we're stewards of it. We take care of each other because God values life, because God values those people, and we want to love them. It's like everything that they're looking for, they can find in the church, and they just don't think it's there. Mm-hmm. Community, authentic relationships, opportunities to serve and find meaning, they're there in the Christian community if they would just know that it was there. And so I think that we need to be able to tell them that, to show them that, to invite them into the community so they can see these things that innately they're looking for. Hey, we've got them. Plus there's more. Let me tell you about Jesus.
I want to put you on the spot. One last question, and that is let's talk about this idea of what we'll call digital discipleship, okay? Mm-hmm. The reality that so many of our young adults, and statistically, more of our boomers and builders are in social networks and online. How do you see that playing a part in outreach to young adults, and how do we best be digital disciples to touch the lives of young adults? And just, I feel like we need to speak to that a little bit because it is such a prevalent issue.
I noticed at my vicarage congregation, or my internship last year, the church I worked, young adults don't read the bulletin. I mean, they really don't. But at the young adult group that I would help lead, I mean, I snatched those emails of everyone in our group immediately, because that's how people communicate. You know, they'll check their email every day, hourly, instantly. But, you know, if it's just in the bulletin, they could easily miss it. So if you're doing a program, if you're doing anything in the church, have something there online, in their emails, on Facebook. You got to reach out in that way, or else you're going to miss them.
Yeah. An idea that I have is usually when I have a congregation that comes to Lutheran Hour Ministries and we partner together, we have one of these Mission U courses or 514 workshops at their congregation. It's somebody from the evangelism committee that comes and books one of these events. And it's really wonderful because they have these wonderful committees. The thing that I want to pose to people is, why don't we also have a committee or part of that group that is specifically for social networking evangelism, internet evangelism, because that's just as important. There's mass distribution. There's so much opportunity to connect with people in different countries, different cities, relationship building there. That's where they are. And so maybe we not only have a hands-on evangelism committee that's personal, but we also have a virtual evangelism board or committee that commits to so much time per week to just build relationships through the internet.
Mm-hmm. I think there are two things in the digital world. First of all, it is a vehicle for the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So the Word of God does go out. And so you find ways. People do that better than I can, but it's a vehicle. Second of all, it networks people, and it's still, you can't get away from the church being people and our witness being personal. And so eventually, you know, the social media hopefully at some point networks actual face-to-face conversation. And then related to that, I actually find that there are moments pulling out of that digital world, unplugging is helpful, not just physically and for a health reason, but also from a gospel witness reason. You set out every other distraction. So to come here, we're on site, we're in a coffee shop, to sit at that table and set my phone on vibrate, and I don't answer it. I just, if I'm with somebody for a half hour, 45 minutes, they're the only person in the world. And so there's a moment to set all that aside too, and as much as we're ingrained, to let it go.
And what a way to show someone that they're valued than to turn things off just to focus on them.
And if you're not comfortable doing digitally, you know, if you're not comfortable Facebooking or texting, it doesn't mean that you can't witness the young adults. Don't let that scare you off.
No.
It'd be way more important to us that you talk to us, that you get to know us, that you're real with us, than that you're an expert at all of our digital things.
And in fact, if you're not good at it, please don't do it. Quite honestly, because it's not going to be helpful.
Right. Yeah.
So let's hear concluding thoughts from each of you. Kind of one last thing that you really feel you want to leave our audience with, that you want to encourage them or exhort them to do as they consider this concept, this topic tonight. We'll just kind of go down the line.
Okay.
All right.
I think there's a lot of differences among generations. And I think that sometimes older generations think that the differences are so insurmountable that they can't witness the young adults. But we all have something in common, and that's that we need Jesus. Mm-hmm. You need him. We need him. People from my generation need to know about Jesus. And by building relationships with them, they can see him in you, and they can see his love in the way that you treat them. So keep up the good work. Love my generation and show them Jesus.
Yeah, I would just affirm again that young adults are just looking for something, anything out there that just rings of truth. And if the church can listen and, you know, talk to people and communicate openly, young adults will just eat it up. And if you do that, then you can give them Jesus and you can talk to them about faith and how it's just a deeper reality than you can ever imagine. So keep it up. Keep up the good work.
I'm going to stay on message with myself and repeat again. I want to implement with my people. I want them to earn the right to be heard. So we're trying to figure out how to do that. One young lady did it in her PhD program. She had a fellow student, and it took her a year to get him to church. And then it took two years after that. We confirmed him last month, highly educated, a bit skeptical. And there was a day when he said, I think there's a God, but I'm not sure who he is. And then there was a day when he said, that creed, I believe this. Okay, I'm there, I'm with you. And that whole process took 3 years with a highly skeptical man, but a relationship of this young woman invested in him. And so how can it, her name is Maria, and she's tuning in, I just called her out, but how can we have, I want to replicate Maria's. As a pastor, I want to raise up more Maria's, because I cannot, gone are the days when you said, let me introduce you to my pastor. I can't meet with everybody, and it's not my job to, you know, evangelize everybody. I'm trying to teach my people how to do it through relationships.
The one thing that I would say is just remembering that we're the hands and feet of Christ. And so oftentimes, if you can kind of think back to the time that you were a young parent, or you can think about when you were a young married person, because you do have those experiences, and you think, what did I really need? What were things that I needed? And instead of handing out prescriptions and advice, because our generation doesn't take that well, encouraging and lifting them up with words of confidence, things that they're doing well, and then also serving their needs. So maybe they just had a baby, bring them food, you know, just serve them in the ways that they actually need to be served with your hands and feet of Christ, because that will create opportunities in which they feel safe, they trust you, they feel loved, and then they will come to you and talk to you and maybe respect you a little bit more. So just loving through both words and through actions.
Well, thank you so much for all of you for giving your time tonight. We're missing 3-on-3 basketball to be here for this conversation. And with that, we're going to draw to a close. And really, we thank our online audience for being a part of this conversation tonight.
I pray this discussion has been an encouragement to you as you look for ways to share your faith with my generation. Again, I would like to thank Creative Communications for the parish for letting us use the audio version of this webcast. If you want to watch the Everyday Evangelism webcasts, you can go to www.livingthegospellife.com. Please stay connected to LCMS Young Adult Ministry by going to facebook.com/LCMSYAM and click on the like button.